Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Great. Excellent.
Love to hear it.
I'll tell you what I brought today.
What?
My sporkle. Oh. Everybody, welcome. It's the Valley Reunion Part 1 Recap. Just a reminder, you can watch this on video if you'd prefer over at Crappens On Demand, which is on Patreon. That's also where you find our bonus episodes. This week is a nice long recap of Beyonce and the Backstreet Boys in Las Vegas and travel woes. Because, you know, we love to discuss some travel woes. Delta, Mandalay Bay, the Cosmo, bastards.
Yeah.
All of you. All three of you.
All of you.
All three of you are in the doghouse.
But they tried to take away our sparkle.
Yeah, they stole our sparkle.
But Backstreet Boys brought them back. Yeah. Backstreets,
give me back
sparkles
my sparkle.
Back. All right.
So today is a reunion for the Valley. How you feel, Ben? How do you feel about the Val? Reunion
it was
part
great.
One. Actually, the first reunion ever for the Valley.
So, yeah, I thought it was a great first episode. We just sat through three really unimpressive Atlanta reunion episodes. I mean, the second episode on Atlanta was okay. It was all right. But like they were really scraping for content. Like it really should have been a supersized one episode reunion, maybe two. So this one, the Valley is bursting with things to discuss. And you know, the reunions really come alive when there's things to sink your teeth into. And I thought the first episode was great. What did you think? And I loved how it was lit. I loved how it was so bright and everyone looked kind of like AI renderings because their makeup was like really, like you could really see their makeup. I loved it. What'd you think?
Well, I think whatever stylist Brittany uses for this, she needs to use for everything because she looked much like, if you look at her when she went on Watch What Happens Live, she looked sad. I don't know, something sad. I mean, she was probably sad, but I don't mean sad like physically. I mean, it was just, she looked like a disaster. Okay. She looked like a damn, her makeup looked crazy. Her clothes looked crazy. Everything looked crazy. And on this, she looked very put together and very, so anyway, just keep that. Keep this one. Whoever you're using on this one, keep them, Brittany, okay? They brought back your sparkle. They brought back your sparkle. I love the fur coat that Jesse showed up in the beginning. I think he should have worn it the whole time. But yeah, I mean, most of this is just watching kind of a trashy couple screaming at each other. But hey, I'm down.
Yeah.
Back to childhood. So let's get into it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Valley Season 2 Reunion. I'm Andy Cohen. I have babies. I'm fucking exhausted. All right. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Wow, this is going to be fun. Brittany. Okay, everyone. America, we're going to introduce all the cast for the next 20 minutes because it's a big cast. Brittany, great to see you. Will tonight be the longest time you spent with Jax in a year? And she's like, yeah. Wow. And Jax, how does it feel to be wearing clothes that are on merch from your bar? Although, are those merch branded Jax's bars lifts in your shoes? Wow. You guys thought of everything.
Yeah. He's like, is that conscious that you wear Jax merch? Yes, it's conscious. It's also, he has to do his own laundry now and he ain't doing it. So he's going to wear the same thing every day. And he's like, got to support the bar, Andy. Okay, Michelle, moved in with your boyfriend, Aaron. How's that going? We all know now because we shot this reunion 19 years ago and a lot's happened since then. Aaron dumped you. So we know that, but we don't know that yet. So how are you feeling? She's like, I made the best decision ever. We have Isabella 50% of the dime. It is a disaster. Isabella's very happy, guys. Don't worry. She's super, super happy. Isabella's getting a lot of Coke-themed honey in her breakfast. Mm. So she's psyched.
Yeah.
Doing
well,
a kilo
she was.
Day.
Not anymore. So Michelle, yeah, she's like, yeah, Isabella is happy. All right, Jesse, we saw you and your tidy whities this season, or more like tidy grays. What's going on? Well, I've since ordered new underwear because Zach told me they were a little bit too baggy. Yeah, droopy drawers.
So they talk about underwear. Kristen's pregnant, guys. So, you know, that's great. And her water could break at any moment.
No, I'm not even kidding, Eddie.
And how does Luke feel about being here? You know, he's a little unprepared because we don't have a to-go bag for the hospital with us. Oh, please, what are you going to have in the to-go bag? He's going to bring like a pair of scissors and a tent and a flashlight and like one of those lamps that don't need oil. I don't trust him. He's going to bring some granola bar. He's just going to bring camping shit.
He's bringing stuff that's going to be very unuseful in the hospital. She's like, do you have my sundress? No, but I have a tarp. Seriously. So, Andy, I mean, Nia, you and Nanny went for it.
Four under four, buddy. Four under four.
Wow, Danny, how many more times are we going to hear you say that, huh? You're not going to say it like right now, are you?
Protect your peace, Daniel. Protect your peace.
Daddy, she's four under four.
Zach, how did Benji enjoy your Scrotox? And he's like, I thought he would have noticed it more, but apparently he didn't.
By the way, Zach, I would say, is the real star of this reunion because he barely got to say a word, but he spent the entire episode making the most hilarious, amazing faces. Every time something happened, they would just cut to Zach and he'd be like, like he would tilt his head to the side and bulge his eyes out and look over to the left. It was amazing. He did great work.
He was just making his neighbor from the Bewitched series, Gladys Kravitz, popping by, being like, did I just see you flying? Face through the whole thing. So Jasmine's here. I think she says only this through the entire reunion. She's engaged. So
yes, that's all we got from her.
Janet lost a lot of baby weight. How'd she do it? Through Adderall and Pilates, Andy. Wasn't that hilarious, everybody? Cool, Janet. Cool Janet,
whose storyline was about accusing someone of substance abuse. Anyway, Adderall and Pilates.
I know, I caught that too. I hope they use that against her all year next year, because that's the big thing, because that's what they call Coke on Bravo. You know, everybody's like, I'm addicted to Adderall, Craig's thing. No, you're a Cokehead, and we all fucking know it. So I like that Janet just came out on national TV and basically called herself a Cokehead.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is Adderall okay to admit, but not Ozempic? People are still being so ridiculous over the
really?
Ozempic stuff. Yes, it's got girls. Of course, I think that. Look, and of course, I think that anybody who loses weight is probably taking that. But it's a hell of a lot easier and probably safer for your heart, at least, than taking a bunch of Adderall, I would think, but
yeah, I would think.
I mean, I've done both, and I'll tell you, I have a lot less rage on the shots than I did on the Adderall.
Well, I think Ozempic is now prescribed for weight loss, and Adderall isn't. So I think, I think it's just right built in right there. Built in right there. Which one's the better one to use?
Good point. And listen, I'm not a big shamer on any of those things. I've used Adderall. I've used Ozempic. I've used Coke. So I'm not really going to judge any of it. It's just that it's Janet, the judgiest one out of everybody. So it's more fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
It's like I don't judge abortions, but I really loved it when that pregnant Republican congresswoman who voted against abortion rights had to get one because she was having a terrible pregnancy, and then she blamed the Democrats for it. I mean, it's like people like that. You know what I mean? I'll shame you for it.
Yeah, everyone. We will shame when we want to shame. It's our choice. Okay.
Yes,
and don't shame us for our shaming decisions. if we don't shame when you want us to shame, then shame on you for trying to shame us into shaming when we want to, but don't want to shame someone. But we will shame when you don't want to shame someone.
No, you can shame me. That's kind of my kink. I don't mind.
I was just doing wordplay.
Shame on you. Shame on you for wordplaying. I'm trying to be very serious about Republican congressperson abortions.
God. Take it to shame, Simpson. Queen of snarkasm. So anyway, Jason, what's up with you, Jason? Are you wearing your wedding ring today? And he's like, hi, Andy. I am. Yes. Wearing my wedding ring. Yes. That was also the last we heard of Jason all episode too. So
thank God. Shut up over there. Hey, be like up. You are in your marriage in this reunion. Silent and agreeable. Thanks.
Silent and agreeable and very good looking. So Andy
It's worn off. It's not good looking. Really, no, his soul tarnished really it. His soul tarnished it. And then his whole like being the only one to follow Jackson to the reunion. You know, did you notice that at the beginning? In the beginning of the reunion when everybody's arriving, people are like, oh my God, is Jax coming? Like, oh my God, Jax is coming. Ooh, Jax is coming. And then everyone just kind of stayed in their dressing room. But it's like the second you can smell Jax, because you know you can smell Jax show up. You just know you can. Yeah. And Jason ran right out of his dressing room and like wagged his little tail and followed Jackson. Like, you know, okay, Jax. And keep following the abuser, Jason.
Yeah, he's really picked the wrong horse in this race. That's for sure.
All right. Well, I want to dive in. You, Kristen, you have called yourself an empath. And I have to say, you may have been the voice of reason for this season.
Seriously, who would have thunk?
Well, how does that feel?
Well, I had one moment that I was not proud of. So I can just start this off with an apology to Janet for the crap that was flying out of my mouth when I was like, I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to knock you out. That wasn't kind of me. So I apologize. But we know it's true because Kristen's so floppy, she beats everyone's ass who walks by. Oh, sorry. Just her arms are flying, hitting people in the face no matter what.
I would never, you know, that wasn't my best moment. And also calling you a whore, that is obviously not true. Nobody would pay you for sex. Who are we kidding? Okay. But you know, the decibel of my voice, not great, not great. I looked at Luke and I said, was that crazy? And he was like, kind of. And I was like, do not forget to pack worms when we go to the hospital to deliver the baby. He was like,
how else am I going to fish?
Thank God.
And I guess, by the way, since Sweet Mariposa is like the big Fleetwood Mac fan of the cast, we should correct ourselves from our podcasting yesterday when we were questioning, and mainly me, the lyric Thunder only always follows rain. Whatever we said. We said the lyric was Thunder always follows rain.
Thunder always happens when it rains or something.
Oh, Thunder always happens.
Thunder only happens when it rains.
Only happens.
Yeah, we got an email from Stevie Nicks and she was like, so there you go.
We're also cursed now.
And Janet just got all she wanted, which was, I appreciate the apology. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's a good way to start. I love apologies. All right, let's celebrate an abuser. You guys ready? Okay. So I wonder, Jax, Brittany, what's the status of your divorce? And she's like, hopefully it's happening soon. But he called the other day and said he might get kicked off the show. So he's prolonging it in case he needs to get alimony from me. And Jax is like, that is somewhat true. That is somewhat true. Yeah. What a piece of shit.
Right. And so and he's like, well, you know, he's like, you know, we'll agree with you in what you said, whatever. And he's like, okay, well, Jesse and Michelle, what are your goals for tonight other than tearing each other apart? And
I'm already shaking. And Jax is like, you should shake. Like, they're not even going to like let their abuse fighting stop in between questions. You know, they're just like, we're keeping it. Keep the spotlight. Yeah. But Jesse takes it. He's like, you know, there's just this constant battle with Michelle of who's going to win. And she's like, I was never trying to win. There is no winning with you. And he's like, well, you were trying to win. You're even trying to win the conversation about trying to win. Win-neater. Hey, you need some wins? Are you going to go to Vegas? You'll stay at the win. I'll bet you'll stay at the win. Win-neater.
What am I trying to win? I already did win because now I have 5% of Rob Reiner's estate.
So a lot happened this season. It was full of high highs, low lows, and a surprise engagement and two new babies. Through everything, oh, blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about your first baby, Kristen, okay? And she's like,
oh, now near the end. It's just so strange. I mean, we got a sonogram, and the baby is already, like, moving its head around looking for the straw. It's going like,
Wow, how soon after the show wrapped did you find out you were pregnant?
About 2 weeks later, something like that.
Wow, great. Luke, how have Kristen's moods been?
Well, he's like, well, the first trimester wasn't fun, and the second trimester was pretty okay, but she's back to being pretty much a pain and a monster.
Okay, well, we could have told you that was going to happen even before she was pregnant.
Right. It was really rough. God, first trimester, baby started to kick during the second. She would just stare down and grab her stomach and start screaming whore really loudly, Andy.
I thought I was sorry. I said, obviously, you're not a whore. Gone.
So what do you think in the end is what helped you get pregnant?
Well, the hormones, and I did an IUI and lit a lot of candles, huge amount of candles, and, calling out and watch Gilmore Girls.
All right, well,
Adderall, you have Andy. Adderall helped. Adderall helped a lot.
Well, you have a wedding to plan as well. Where are we with that?
Oh, nowhere near that. But I did find out that the 500 flower crowns that I ordered for it will be arriving soon. So step one is taken care of. Yes.
Yeah. We're just trying to get a free date from the park, Andy. So
I feel like Kristen will have a park wedding.
There'll be a lot of like
she'll be that
canopies friend. And it'll be just like very... It'll look like Midsummer or something like that. Like people, it'll just be very hippie and.
But also with other families there just playing. They're like, oh God, people getting married in the park. This Frisbee's. Is why we pay taxes. Great.
If Frisbee's going to hit her in the middle of her vows.
Oh, seriously? It's a wedding going on here.
I tried not to do this on Frisbee Golf Day.
Jill just catches it.
Whores. You're all whores.
Suck a dick, Frisbee golfers.
Luke, I vow from here to when you hold me till I'm dead. So good day, Diana.
So you and Janet, you and Kristen have had your ups and downs. How's she going to do as a mom? And Janet's like, she's going to be a great mom, Andy, because she's a good dog mom. And that's hard. So I'm sure that Kristen will take her baby outside every time it needs to poop and make sure it adds a little water to their food to make sure it's not too hard to chew.
Wow, that was great insight. Well, there must have been something in the water in the valley that week because just as Kristen and Luke were conceiving, their fertile friends Danny and Nia were getting pregnant with baby number 4. Nia, how has this pregnancy been different for you?
Yeah, and she's like, we've been saying ups and downs a lot so far this reunion, so I'm going to go with ups and downs, Andy, ups and downs, and I get to enjoy it because there's not as many ups and downs. And Andy's like, Danny, we heard you complain a lot about how little sleep you're getting. Why are you putting yourself through this just for a child? Could you hire no one? I mean, come on. And he's like, I didn't. She leg locked me, Andy. She leg locked me. Pretty funny, right, guys?
She's a fourth degree black belt.
All right. Well, is there a vasectomy in your future? Or are you just going to just go for 5 under 5? Yeah, I was going to say if there's any guys that want to do a vasectomy with me. Oh, Jax, you're raising your hand. I'm not sure I want to do that with you, Jax. Sure. Okay. Because Jax is like, yeah, I'll do it. I totally want to do it. But like, Jax, you haven't, like you, I guess I'm wondering how many babies are out there that have been unclaimed by Jax and by pop culture.
How does Jax even have working sperm? Like, how does he have working sperm? Like, I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, Jax wants to get one. And Andy's like, well, Jax, do you use birth control? He's like, do I use birth control?
No, condoms. Seriously? Condoms? Condoms are birth control, Jax.
Oh, I'm not really. Yeah.
Hey, it's disgusting. I wouldn't touch that dirty dick with a 10-inch pole. He's going to have 20 baby mamas if he doesn't get a vasectomy, Andy. Disgusting.
And he's like, that's not what you said 4 months ago when we were out at the aquarium. And you were like, do you think we should hook up one more time? You said that. You said it at Hooters. You said it 4 months ago at Hooters.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Brittany's still going to Hooters with Jax. Like, that's why I can't with Brittany's whole, like, oh, really? I'm touching that dick with a 10-foot pole. You went to Hooters with Jax. Brittany, come on, man. I'm trying to root for you here.
I'm confused because he's like, that's not what you said at the aquarium. And you said it at, then, but then he's like, you said it at Hooters. I'm like, did you go to Hooters or did you go to the aquarium?
It was a family day, man. Did
you go to the aquarium and then Hooters?
They went to the aquarium. There was a family day. They took the kid to the aquarium and to Hooters. So this is Brittany and Jax we're talking about.
It's great. It's just great. You know, I think that people always forget that Jax like knocked up that girl in Vegas and like what paid for her abortion or something. Speaking of abortions, right? That was a whole like a whole thing on season one of the show, season two. I mean, you would think after that you would maybe, you know, put a condom on or something, but you know, straight men just do straight men things. Also, all the rumors
about what he's got going on down there. Yeah, I mean, I would think that you'd wear a condom, but I don't know. So Jax is like, oh, please, you wouldn't touch me. You're just like hooking up with a guy who who was hooking up with porn stars. So, and so you do that too. I mean, you're with OnlyFans models and porn stars yourself. What are you talking about, Jax? Okay, please put up the picture of the lady that Jax is banging with the giant boobs, because I love every time they show that picture.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I don't know why that picture is so funny, but honestly, how can it not be? You know,
I know. I just love Jax saying you're sleeping with guys who sleep with porn stars. You are the guy who sleeps with porn stars, Jax.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you with your like I go to your room. There's condoms all over the floor. It's like, at least I use them. At least I use them.
And then you throw them on the floor. Oh, God, this couple really is disgusting. I mean, team Brittany, but both gross some of the time, you know, like, ugh.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome back to the season two reunion. Okay, Kristen, have you and Nia bonded a lot during your journeys? And she's like, oh, yeah. I don't know what I'd do without her. You know, just a fertility journey alone and the whole pregnancy. She's already helped me with postpartum and anything you could even ask for. It's Nia. And he's like, okay. So Andy asked Nia about
postpartum depression before we've even had our babies, Andy. So she's really on it. She's really on it.
Prepartum Fleetwood Mac.
I've already taught her to say no, Danny. No.
So Andy asks about postpartum, and Nia's hoping that she doesn't have it this time because she says that last time with the twins there was just so many hormones that like, you know, is what caused it. But you never know. You never know what's it's out of her control, etc. And then Andy feels bad for Nia for, you know, regarding her body image. He says that was really heartbreaking to watch the pressure she puts on herself. So then we see again, she's at the plastic surgeon's office talking, going down a list of all the things that she wants adjusted.
Andy, who's already commented on a woman's weight and usually asks every woman on the stage when she last got plastic surgery is like, whoa, really feel bad about your body image. Welcome to Bravo, sucker. So what's a mommy makeover? Are you going to get new boobs? Are you? Tell me about your new boobs. What are they going to look like? Can I touch them? Do you have any Do you have any samples I can just play with? I'll tell you which are better. Like, well, you know, I live in LA and, you know, it's good to want to feel good in your skin. You know, it's good to get other skin, you know, give yourself grace. I try to find balance. And so she's planning a mommy makeover and Brittany's like, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I think at the very least, Brittany should get rid of the boobs that Jax made her get. Because remember, those were forced boobs on Brittany. He's like, I'll pay for your boobs if you get a size triple Z. And she's like, well, I don't know. And everybody was like, Brittany, please don't do this to yourself. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. And now she's like, ow. So get those out at least, you know, get the last reminder of Jax out of you.
She really should get those out. So they're all joking. Like, Jesse's like, I'll do it with you.
I just look in the mirror and see two Jax heads staring back at me every time, just
like an old Benny Hill show. Just like that, they just snort every time.
I just snort and sweat.
What's that noise? Oh, my baby's just snorting again. So
I got some Kleenex for my boobs. They're snorting.
Michelle, seeing Kristen and Nia is giving you baby fever?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I remember not sleeping well and your back hurting, but then I remembered that was because I was sleeping next to Jesse and he is pointy and hurts my back.
I have a constant dream that I'm having another baby that comes out with a little beanie on its head or a headband, and I cannot let myself do it. Although Aaron wants multiple children, but I will not do it. I said, no, that is not going to happen, but I am open to it. And do you think you're going to get engaged to Aaron? And she's like, there is no rush, but that is the goal. How can you not want to get married to a man whose eyes bob out every time you come in the room or anybody comes in the room? Or when he is sleeping, generally. I love bobbing eyes, Andy.
Poor Michelle. So they just broke up or announced their breakup like 5 days ago. So it's always so harsh when this happens on Bravo, when they're on TV talking about their future and they know it's already, we know it's already never going to happen. So
I don't think it's sad. I think it's actually great. I mean, she's dating a guy who's selling honey called Kilo. His dog's called Kilo. And all of the descriptions on the website are like, yeah, you craving Kilo? Yeah, get your stash trying to get an 8-ball of Kilo delivered to your house. I mean, it's obviously another Coke fan. As a Coke fan, I say that's probably not great for the kids to.
Well, yeah, but I'm not saying he's the right guy, but I'm just saying like it's when you see her talking like, yeah, there could be a future here. And you're like, no, it's already over.
So this season, we saw not one, but two married couples reach their breaking point and file for divorce. Anyway, I want to start with Jesse and Michelle, America's sweethearts. Michelle, last season we saw your relationship on the rocks and Jesse fighting to keep the marriage together or at least doing fake tears and having one day of ayahuasca. What was the tipping point that made you leave? The only answer is his personality, but let's see what you have to say about it.
Did you watch season one, Andy? Like, why do I have to explain this to you? It was a lot. You know, I was tired every day of the same thing. You are always diminishing me, that you are putting me down. And that is the bare minimum. And she's like, why do I want to be with somebody who treats me like shit? You know, old Deadeyes over there is an asshole. What more do you want from me? You know, and then at one point, it's our anniversary. And I looked at him and I saw nothing in there but swirling smoke. And I asked myself, is this how you want Duville every day until you die? And so I left, you know, bye. And so he's like, well, we saw you guys struggling to co-parent. That was fun. Has it gotten any better? And Jesse's like, it was pretty good. We're pretty good when it comes to decisions for Isabella. You know, is your mom a whore? Yes, we agree. So that's pretty good. But we struggle with something else. Oh, she says that, wait, what did he say? Oh, I know that she weaponizes Isabella and I weaponize Isabella. We both weaponize Isabella. You know, she's still at that age where she's easy to like physically throw at each other. And so we do that. It's like a pillow fight, but with a toddler, you know?
We put her into a can and shoot her at each other.
It's my turn to put Isabella into my cannon.
I'll put one of those little plastic baby sporks into her hand, and then I'll fling her across the room and hope she gets Michelle in the eye. You know, it's just it's a fun game we play, Andy. So,
you know, someone on Twitter tweeted the following. He goes, "It's so weird. Clearly, Jesse is problematic, but I can't put my finger on why Michelle comes across so unlikable and he doesn't." I would say, well, first of all, I think the answer to that is obviously like ingrained misogyny, right? I think that's like step one. But step two is like, I feel like Jesse is, he's always on the offense and she's always on the defense, I feel like. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. But like Jesse is given space to like smile and laugh. and be charismatic. And she has to be like, look at this asshole, guys. Look at this asshole. And then people are like, boo, Michelle, you're so boring. You're so lame. You're not funny. You're not charismatic. Don't you feel like that's fucked up? Isn't it fucked up?
Well, that's how they do it on these shows. On the Vanderpump Rules show, that's like a longstanding tradition where the guy comes on and he acts charming. He acts like an asshole off screen, but he has a lot of charm and some looks. I mean, this guy is an ex-model, you know, and they come on and they act like, oh, I'm doing all the right things. I'm going to therapy and trying to work things out for the sake of the baby. When meanwhile, they're calling their wife fat off screen, screaming at them, staying out all night, going through over $1 million in cash throughout the year while their wife is stuck at home with the kid, probably cheating, doing all of this other crap, making them crazy. And so then they come act charming on TV and are like, and then say one little thing to keep pushing after pushing and pushing. And then she gets mad. And then everyone's like, God, she's a bitch. And he's a real handsome, charming guy. I can see why he wants to leave her. We've seen it happen with Tom and Katie. You know, Tom did that for years with Katie. We see it with Tom Sandoval and Ariana, how he tried to play that off. I mean, he got caught, but he tried to play that off the whole last season. Like, she's just frigid and doesn't want anything to do with me, bro. We see it with Jax and how Jax has always been with Brittany, you know, just trying to push her and then be like, why are you yelling at me when I'm trying to make all these changes? I mean, it's Bravo. It's a Bravo standard. You know,
yeah, pull out the I think charm. You said it so perfectly. Guy,
pull out the charm, make the woman look fucking crazy. And the thing that makes me crazy is the women who fall for it. And I see it all the time in the comment sections, too. You know, Michelle's job isn't to make you feel like she's charming and fun, guys. She's not trying to date you. She's just trying to fucking survive with the kid, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. Like, this is not even really up for debate. Like, I'm so 100% in agreement with you on this one. Like, God. I just think it's so unfair that, like, these guys like Jesse come out here and he says, well, you know, she weaponizes Isabella. And we all know, we don't even need Michelle to explain how he does it, too. We all know that he does, because we see him doing it. Him actually saying that right now on screen is him weaponizing Isabella. And like, then she has to defend herself and she has to set the record straight and she gets mad. And when, you know, when women get mad, they're hysterical. When men get mad, they're brave or whatever. And I think it's just bullshit. I'm like totally team Michelle on this entire reunion. I just want to say,
well, especially if you add up all the stuff that Jesse does, it's like people, and I do think that Jesse does have charm. He seems like he's a cool guy when he's not acting like completely fucking psycho. But you know, tip one, dead eyes. I'm sorry. And yes, you can help.
Hair dent. I'm sorry. Tip 0.5 before tip one, hair dent.
Tip three, instead of going to therapy, he goes to men's ayahuasca retreats. Okay. Which is like a drug trip. Let's be honest with the guys.
Tip four, his entire personality and everything that he says.
Tip number five, constantly calls you a whore whenever he doesn't like you, or tells all of your friends that you're literally a whore. Going through all
of your
money. Tip
six, wouldn't let your daughter see your dying mother. And it doesn't matter what he says. That his instinct was to say no to that. So
yeah, it makes me crazy too. No, it makes me crazy too. But you know, obviously Michelle's not perfect. Michelle does a lot of stupid things too. I mean, Michelle's whole like going with Aaron 2 seconds after, that's not really great to bring a young kid into a new relationship so fast. You know, there's like a lot of stuff you could ding Michelle on, but I think on the overall, you know, the overall relationship thing, you look at how Jesse treats Michelle. Yeah, I'm gonna be Team Michelle.
I think here's what works for Jesse is that he has a sense of humor and Michelle doesn't really have a sense of humor. Like, he'll make little jokes throughout the season, and he even makes little jokes at the reunion, and he'll like laugh and smile. And Michelle, like when she tries to make little jokes, they're like not very good. And so I think that like people who are like, she's not funny, she's boring. And then that sort of like, that somehow like enters the fray, that somehow becomes part of people's decision on whether they're Team Michelle or Team Jesse. And it really shouldn't be. It's like, whether or not she's boring, it's like, she's dealing with a monster.
It's really hard on a show like The Valley when most of the people are terrible to kind of parse what's happening, because everyone's terrible in one way, but they can still be right in a situation, right? So, like, Michelle to me is terrible in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm never going to forget the season one thing of, you know, I was talking to Michelle, and Michelle, you know, Michelle's a Republican, which, look, I know a lot of Republicans. It's not like I'm just going to hate you if you think differently than me. But her, that turned out to be allegedly about don't say gay, you know, that law, don't say gay. She's like behind that. So, you know, there's stuff like that that, you know, we haven't really gone over again and again on the show. But like, I'm not going to like, there's, it's going to be a long time. There's things like that. There's always standing by Janet, even though Janet's so mean and terrible. She's always going to stand by Janet, even though Janet started that whole thing in season one. Right. Janet ultimately is sticking by Michelle, and they've made an alliance, and they're going to stick together no matter what happens. And so there's so many things about Michelle that I don't like. But in this situation, Michelle is, you know, I choose Michelle over Jesse. Jesse has 100%. Cuteness. He has charm, and he, like you said, he has humor. He has a natural charm. I mean, like she asked later in the episode, or maybe it's next week. I don't know if it's in a preview, but where she's like, oh, really? Who's paying your rent? Who's paying your mortgage, mm-hmm. Jesse? Because you don't have any money. And she's already insinuated that some rich guy's been paying his mortgage and stuff like that. So he's got charm that he can live off of and that he gets by on, especially in a town like L.A., where you really just need a slight amount of charm and a lot of good looks. And you're golden for your whole life.
Yeah.
So he's already living off of that. So, yeah, I'm going to cut Michelle a break on this. You know, all the other stuff aside, she wins on this.
She does win. And I just want to also point out that the counterbalance to her standing by Janet's side is that Jesse, of course, stands by Jax's side. So that those two really cancel themselves out. Not that it really matters in this discussion, but I just always want to point out evil when I see it.
That's true.
Anyway, sorry for that diversion.
See something, Ben. See something, say something.
It's really the best use of it. Guys, that person supports Jax.
Hey, wait a minute. Those two are hitting each other with a toddler.
Back to weaponizing the baby. So Jesse says that Michelle weaponizes the baby, and she's like, no, I don't. He goes, yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Let's read the comments online. You weaponize your daughter. Which point, Andy, by the way, I love Andy doing these reunions because, as we've noted many times with Vanderpump and Southern Charms, Summer House, he doesn't give a shit about these people and he doesn't kiss their ass because they're not divas the way the housewives are. So he's always ready to just sort of like cut them down when he can. And he's like, excuse me, it's not up to the comments online to discuss, to determine who weaponizes what.
Yeah.
And
he's like, okay, if you don't weaponize her, then explain what you said to my mom. And she said to her mom, if you are not going to allow Isabella to see my mom, who is going to die, she will not be flying to Boston for Christmas and spending the week in Boston. And he goes, ever again, you said ever again. And she said, exactly. Exactly. And he's like, well, she should. And Janet's like, yeah, but she should have said that. And hate to agree with Janet, but yeah.
Yeah, she should have. 100%. That's not weapon. That's not weaponizing your daughter.
Your mom for trying to fight the battle for you. If your mom is also trying to agree that she shouldn't get to go see her, your mom should be standing up and saying, no, your kid needs to see the other mom before she dies. Your mom would want that respect. So fuck your mom too.
Yeah. And this also to me was not weaponizing the child. I feel like weaponizing the child is like, hey, can you get me a new car? If you don't get me a new car, I will not let you see your daughter. Like, that's what, not like, if you don't let me see my daughter, by the way, I kind of feel like anytime you have to start a sentence by saying, if you don't let me see, like, let me have my daughter for this moment, that means that the other person has inherently been weaponizing the child. That's how it impresses me as. And yeah, like, this is just weaponizing, saying,
this is a game of did for dad.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big did for dad. Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And by the way, is there, if one mother is dying, isn't that implicitly the same as saying, I'm not going to let my daughter see your mom ever again also? I mean, think about that.
Yeah, good point.
It's dark.
Yeah,
good point. Dark, but it's true.
This whole show
you said ever again also. You just didn't articulate it.
Yeah, this whole reunion's real. Everything brought up is fucking dark. And so Jesse's like, well, she knows the truth. She knows the truth of that story. And she goes, okay, then what happened? You know, it worked. And that is how I have to dog to you. I have to treat you that way. And he's like, but you weaponized Isabella. And she's like, they're like, her mom was dying, Jesse. And he goes, okay, but the truth is I never said she couldn't see her dying mother. She planned a trip to go to Italy with her boyfriend for 2 weeks, and she wanted her sister to take the baby for the week and then let me take her for a week. And I hired a behavior therapist. We hired a behavior there. We did. And he's like, to teach us about how to talk about mortality with a four-year-old. Here's how you do it.
Okay.
You sit the four-year-old down and you say, you remember that goldfish we bought you? That you got at that birthday party, how it died, and we flushed it down the toilet. That's what's happening to grandma soon. So get your hugs in, take all the gum out of her purse. This is your last chance. I mean, it's your job as parents to sit down and explain how people die. People die. That's a fact of life. Fucking explain it. You need a behavioral therapist, Jesse, to explain
I'm sorry.
Give me a fucking break.
Sorry. I agree. Well, because these are two people who don't understand emotions. So they have to hire someone who, like, actually, you know, is a professional at explaining them. Because, like, why don't you ask, I don't know, literally anyone else who has a child who's dealt with this? Because, unfortunately, this is part of life. Like, how do you just not ask a friend? How did you deal with it? Why don't you just go to Google? Just chat fucking GPT. I mean, it's this whole thing about hiring I'm not opposed to hiring a behavioral therapist at all. I'm just saying it felt to me like it was a not a roadblock, but it was like it was a speed bump or something. Like it was something that Jesse was insisting on intentionally to draw out this process so that he wouldn't have to send Isabella to see the mom. Like,
right,
that's what, it's why it's so stupid.
It's a fight over like who gets to talk to the kid about mortality, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to do it? Well, I get to do it. No, I get to do it. No, I get to do it. Well, I'm not ready to do it. So until I do it, we're not going to see your mom because it's going to hurt you. I mean, it's just so gross. You know, you don't even,
yeah.
And I'm being so kind of cynical about it because obviously the discussion isn't really, we need to talk to the kid about mortality. It's like you're saying, we're just going to use this as a tentpole.
I want to see. It's his way of saying no without to the request of letting the child see the grandmother without saying no. He's going to be like, let me throw some bureaucratic element into it. Right. Like this is like, okay, before she sees the grandma, we have to go and talk to a mortality specialist or a behavioral specialist to discuss. But and then they're probably like, then let's have a discussion about what we're going to say. He just wants to throw some shit in to delay the process. So that way he doesn't have to like cater to this inevitable situation.
Yeah. And Michelle is like, yeah. And they told you, the behavioral therapist or whatever that you forced us to go to, were the ones that told you she needed to see my mom. And they had to tell you that you needed to give me grace and you had to do all these things and you still didn't do them. So like you still made me go to this behavioral whatever. You didn't get what you wanted and you still got your way.
Yeah. And she's basically saying you're acting like you're a saint for hiring this therapist. For us, that way you could have a really, you know, like thoughtful way of discussing mortality. But actually what it was that you were stubborn and didn't want to help out. And you were hoping that the therapist was going to be on your side and they had to tell you, no, you're wrong. And you still dug your heels in.
Yeah. So then what's the status of the divorce? They have a custody agreement ironed out, but they still don't have a settlement. She has a lawyer. He does not have a lawyer. And so she's just been paying out the ass for 6 months, which I'm sure he loves because he's like from the Jack school of, well, let's just keep making her pay for shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay
precisely.
Anyway, so.
And Michelle's like, he represents himself, so he thinks he knows the law. And he's like, well, I've watched Suits 3 times, including Suits LA, and I'm currently watching it now. So that was a joke, everyone. Charm.
And Janet's like, do you guys think Jesse could pass the bar? That'd be hilarious. And then he's like, well, I mean, it's a clean divorce. You guys are broke. So what's the issue? And she's like, well, he got mad that I spent any money during the marriage. So he wanted me to pay him back money I spent during the marriage. And he's like, no, I didn't. She goes, yes, that is how it went. And he goes, well, our entire divorce, sadly, has become this, Andy, as you can see, a tit for tat. Well, yeah, when you were the one who blew through $1 million of your savings while she was stuck at home with a baby, and now you want her to pay back for whatever she did spend is fucking nuts. It's crazy. But he makes a suits joke, and so everybody's fine with him.
Exactly. And then he's like, yeah, it's just become tit for tat. And Andy goes, sounds like it, which is Andy's way of saying, like, you two fucking idiots need to figure it out.
Yeah.
So Jesse's like, well, she wants me to pay her back for a Napa trip. She's, I don't want you to pay anything back. Why don't you guys just call it even and shut up already? And Janet's like, she's been asking that. And let me tell you something. As someone who's married to a lawyer, I just want to say quid pro quo. Okay, thanks so much.
So he's like, yeah, Andy, well, I was working on it this week when I got her discovery. She goes, oh, my discovery, huh? And he's like, yeah, this war of attrition is exhausting. I mean, I'm just done. I mean, I reached out to her attorney about how to move because I want her to move forward with Aaron. I mean, I just want her to be in love, Andy, and have happiness. But my life is a mess, but I want to start putting out fires where I can. And I spoke to my attorney, and Jenna's like, aren't you representing yourself? And he goes, yes. And they're like, so you spoke to yourself? And he goes, I have a team of consultants that I work with. Okay. So.
It's the Lisa Barlow's team. She lent them to him. So Jenna's like, is that Jason? Jason's like, hi, I'm not on the team. I'm not on the team. That was hilarious, though. That's a good one, Janet. So,
and also, war of attrition is exactly what Jesse is doing, because that's where you wear down your opponent. You know, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's like, I'm not even going to get a lawyer. I'm not going to make an effort to take this seriously at all. I'm just going to keep, you know, filing random things to keep this going forever until she's broke and gives me what I want.
And then he gets to sit there and cry and be like, I just want her to start her new life. And my life is a mess. And yet he won't actually say why his life is a mess. I mean, she'll say it, but then he denies everything. And yet he denies all the money shit. And yet is happy to claim the part that his life is a mess for sympathy. So that's real convenient for him.
Well, he does say why. His life is a mess because now he's trying to pay this huge mortgage with only half the income because they made money together. But now that she's left him, he can't make the money because they were a business together.
Well, whose fault is that? Whose fault? You know what? There's a way to divorce and still do business together. But like, he fucked it up by being a total asshole.
Also shows who did the business in that family, because she's not complaining. So apparently she's fine
at all.
You know?
Yep. Yep. All right, Jesse, how are things with your girlfriend in Orange County? Do you two watch Baywatch together? No, we do not. Michelle, how's your relationship with Jesse's girlfriend? Do you interact with her at all? I don't have any sort of relationship with her, nor do I want to.
He's like, well, my girlfriend made the decision about a month after we started dating to reach out to Michelle to set boundaries mother to mother, which Aaron never did to me, father to father. And he's like, well, I mean, a month into the relationship seems pretty new. And he goes, well, we'd been together for a month and she'd been spending a lot of time with Isabella. So, you know, she had the mother to mother call. That's what people do.
Mother that is
to mother.
I think within a month is like very, that's wild. That's like very wild. Like that's so early to be having that phone call, if you ask me. I don't know. I think that's at that point, that's like a thing where Jesse and Michelle have a conversation with each other. But like, that's way too early to do the mother to mother call, if you ask me. And I say this as someone who's not married and has never been in this position, of course.
I don't know. I wouldn't see a problem with it if it was a call that was like, hey, my name is, you know, alleged flat earther, which I know is not true now because we got an email about it. But anyway, it's still fine. So I've been dating Jesse and I'm spending a lot of time with your kid. And I just wanted you to know I have no, you know, I support you. If there's anything you want me to know or whatever, I'm not ever going to try and step on your toes. I'm not here to become this kid's mother.
Right, but we know it wasn't that conversation.
You know, if it's something like that, that's just like, I come in peace. If you ever need to talk to me or ask me anything, here's my number. I know it might be weird that I'm hanging out with your kid, but I'm not trying to take you know, if it's a conversation like that, I wouldn't have any kind of a problem with it, right? I mean, I would probably do that.
I know what you're saying, and that thought did cross my mind. I was like, you know what? Like, I think that would be a very mature, you know, good thing. But I think that given how bitter the divorce is, I don't know. I think I would just, like, tread carefully. And I mean, this is conspiratorial. Maybe Jesse set this girl up for failure, knowing that it would piss off Michelle if this girl called Michelle. And he was like, you should call Michelle and set some boundaries. She calls Michelle. Michelle bites her head off because she's like, who do you think you are, mother? You know, there's like a flash in the pan, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, I would not be surprised if Jesse were actually somehow behind this, but that is conspiratorial. I understand.
Yeah, because the wording she called Michelle to set some boundaries is pretty bizarre.
That's like, where it's weird. To set boundaries? I was like, no, it's to receive boundaries.
Yeah, the noob doesn't get to set the boundaries. So,
and given the cease and desist that came, you know, later on, I just can't imagine that the conversation had the same vibe as you proposed.
Yeah. So Michelle's like, I told Jesse our agreement was Aaron doesn't need to be involved and she does not need to be involved. The decisions are between us. And Brittany's like, well, you guys agreed to not have anyone around your child. And Michelle did not have anyone around her child. And you and Isabella never told Michelle you tried to get mad because Michelle wanted to have Aaron around and you said no because he was a man, but you were allowed to have your girlfriend around. So what the hell? And then the next day she's braiding her hair. So you're the one who messed up first. You're the one who messed up first. And I got it on my ring cam. I got it on my ring cam, Andy.
Brittany did a pretty good job of summarizing that. I mean, really, it's basically like, yeah, Jesse, as much as Jesse likes to complain, like, oh, Michelle went right into Aaron's arms right away. It's like, Michelle was like, no, I was actually, yes, I was with Aaron, but I was not bringing Aaron around our daughter. But you right away brought this new girl from Orange County around our daughter. So then I was like, sure, I'm going to bring Aaron around the daughter.
So he says there's more to the story, and the other side is that Michelle came up to him and said, I would never put my daughter in an unsafe position. I can introduce her to whoever I want. And Michelle's like, well, but I said when the dime is right, I will let you know and you can meet him. And then you said you're never, ever going to introduce a man to our daughter. And he goes, well, what I said is it's different introducing a little girl to a girl who's also a mother as opposed to a little girl meeting a 35-year-old guy who has a roommate when Michelle started dating him. Okay, that's not a terrible point because there are a lot of creepy fucking men who date women just to have access to their children. We know that it's a crazy world. It's a fucked up world. That's not the craziest thing that Jesse has said. However, you're getting a divorce and you no longer have that say. Like you don't have that say. Like you're getting a divorce and your wife, she's being nice and saying, I'll introduce you. I'll keep this as open as possible. You don't get to come in and make rules like that. She's going to date whoever the fuck she wants. And she doesn't have to, she doesn't have to tell you or introduce them to the kid at all. She's being nice by offering that.
Yeah. I think it's a double standard that he set up and I don't think it's right. So Brittany is like, that's control, Jesse. And Michelle's like, the roles are not the same. That's the frustration. And Janet's like, seems sexist. I say that as someone who's married to a lawyer, so I understand these things. And Jesse is like, well, I just thought it was different. All right. Well, what did you make of the rumors your girlfriend was saying negative things about you? He's like, me. I'm Jesse. Yeah. Who would say something negative about me? I don't believe it. And you know what I mean? Like she kind of holds my feet to the fire and I really love that.
So Janet mentioned in Santa Barbara that this chick was threatening legal stuff. And Janet's like, yeah, that's where it turned because she wanted to silence Michelle from talking about the Baywatch thing and a lot of other bullet points. And Jesse's like, well, no, sentence. I mean, other bullet points.
The Baywatch thing and other bullet points. Of course,
we didn't even get into the Dukes of Hazzard thing. So, wait till we get to Chips. It's big.
Knight Rider is not up for discussion because that counts under the David Hasselhoff umbrella.
This woman even dated Kit. So.
Michelle Lally is kind of like the Kit of this cast. Let's be honest.
I am here, Michael. You like? I'm waiting out front for you.
What do you need, Michael?
Dumbass.
Lolly Rider.
Did for dad.
Jesse.
Okay, so Jesse's like, well, it was a cease and desist letter, not a lawsuit. I mean, she didn't sign a contract. She didn't take money like Aaron did to be on this show. And she goes, Aaron did not take a dollar. He just took a lot of free advertising for his cocaine honey.
Cocaine honey. I was like, oh, but he sure showed up quite a bit. But he's like, which is great. If you're going to date somebody on reality TV, it's important to show up.
And Jazz unlike like, nope. Danny, who wanted to take naps the whole time.
Ow, that was a stray. Four strays under four.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sera sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.